This is beautiful, that God in the wilderness will lead you to places where you cannot catch your breath, you cannot get rest, you cannot plant, you will not become complacent, and you are Psalm 123, as a handmaiden looks to her mistress, as a slave looks to the hand of his master, so our eyes look to you, O God, until you have mercy on us. That's what it means to be in the wilderness. There's a pillar of cloud and a pillar of fire. Cloud by day and fire by night. And you're going to have to pay attention. You're not going to catch any rest. It's only by the grace of God. And the temptation is going to be to grumble against the groundhog days, to grumble against the manna breakfast, manna lunch, the manna dinner, the manna shakes, the manna kebabs, the whole thing, manna burgers. You're going to get sick and tired of it. And you're going to want to grumble and complain. And this is where God is doing a very, very deep work of character, testing your faith to see, will you suffer in order to get into the promised land? And I think one other thought I wanted to capture that I haven't captured in journal recently is how it's become quite ironic for me to realize, as I counted the number of dates, at a quick count, we're right at around 50 dates now that have come and gone. When you look at all the 10-12s that we saw, and I think there may be a few 1-10s in there as well. I'm not sure. I'd have to go back and check my list, but we're around 49 dates that have come and gone. Maybe actually, August 25th would have been a date on there as well, that have come and gone with not a major break towards getting me to New Zealand happening. And I was talking with Lisa about how I discovered that God moved the Israelites in the wilderness 42 times according to the book of Numbers. I think the tabernacle was set up and taken down about 30 times, but he moved them about 42 times. And I began to meditate on that, and you think to yourself, what would be the point of him just moving them from sand dune to sand dune? Why would he not just allow them to stay in one place, like, and say, this is your punishment out here in this wilderness? Why did he insist on moving them and keeping it so unpredictable? It's not like you move every week, every month. It could have been a day. It could have been a year. Why did he do this? I mean, that's a really legitimate question. And there could be all kinds of reasons. But I told Lisa, I said, I'm seeing a parallel experience between God moving Israel in the wilderness and God moving us in our wilderness by dates, to equate their actual camp locations to our actual dates and times, where we are moving from date to date in the wilderness. So we moved from this date to that date, and once we got to that date, we waited for a while, then God gave us another date, and then we looked to that place, and we're basically moving everything. Sometimes me even packing up suitcases and packing up my stuff. Many times I packed up all my belongings thinking that, oh, maybe tonight God will come and send an angel. Maybe tonight, and I'm just going to give him my faith, and nothing came of it. Hi, Miss Dear. Hi. Hi there. Good morning. Hi there. Oh, she's letting me get close. Good morning. Yeah, you're okay. Trot along. Good girl. Yeah, she's going along with her happy self. So I have made this connection to this moving around in the wilderness, to God moving us from date to date. And there seems to be a principle here that I need to spend a little more time unpacking and studying. But these are the insights that I'm getting so far, is that the number one thing that moving around in the wilderness does is it keeps Israel with their eyes on God. It keeps them engaged with Him in real time, expecting the next move, expecting to hear from Him. And they're watching this cloud by day and pillar of fire by night. They would have kept their eye on that thing. And by doing that, it's keeping them in a bondage to the Holy Spirit of the living God. This would have represented the Holy Spirit to them. And instead of having, you know, the Spirit minister to a bunch of individuals, God was dealing with them primarily as a nation, and He could make it to where that was a standard, kind of like an army banner in the war. that pillar of cloud by day and pillar of fire by night would have been a standard that showed that God could lead all of his people at one time based on everybody keeping their eyes on that standard, on his Spirit. And it gave them a sense that they were not staying where they were for long, and they were not yet where God would have them be, and that they were dependent upon waiting for God, keeping their eyes on him and obeying him, learning the lesson of faith and obedience. And when I look at Lisa and I, it also gives you this sense that you're making progress, you're going somewhere. And I said, sweetheart, look at this. I said, if God would not have moved Israel all those years in the desert, what would have happened? They would have become complacent. There is a principle, and comfortable. There's a principle in the Christian life of Christians are to be sojourners through the land, pilgriming through the land, that they are to keep shallow roots, particularly in your heart, knowing that this is not your home. This also would have been a picture of the Israelites realizing that this is not their home in the wilderness, and they needed to keep shallow roots. If God didn't keep them moving, human nature, particularly in the nesting desires of a woman, she would have begun to build a permanent nest there. They would have begun to build infrastructure, perhaps, and things would have become much more permanent, and they would have become used to living looking down at the ground rather than looking at the pillar of cloud and fire, looking at the living God. And God is trying to keep them with their eyes on him, bringing about all the lessons of faith, obedience, and humility to them, preparing them for the promised land, trying to see if they will get their characters right to get into the promised land, keeping them ever needy upon him. And I said, sweetheart, look at how God has done this with us with these dates. These dates are almost like God moving us from one sand dune to another. And you may have found, if you were there in Israel, that when God moved you to a new place, there was a new spring. There was a little tiny miniature oasis. There would have been maybe some new pasture lands for your animals to graze. There would have been something new to give you a sense that, okay, this isn't the promised land, but God is providing for us here. This is exactly what I have found, that a lot of these places, not every one, a lot of these dates that he's had us move to, there was something there waiting for us. Something happened on those days. Sometimes it was Lisa got her name changed on that day. Sometimes it was a breakthrough with her daughter in some way. Sometimes it was an announcement in the family that was going to affect us some way. And we would see that there was something there in a lot of these places that God would move us to. And I said, sweetheart, notice how if God would have never given us these dates, no telling what would have happened to our faith, these going to these places become tiring, painful, unmet expectations are sharp rocks against our feet and our faith. And I said, we would have very easily tried to shrink back from these things, and we would have become complacent in the land. We would have built up some sort of an infrastructure for our long-distance relationship. We would have missed all the character development. We would no longer be so quickly watching the providence. So these numbers for us is the providence of God. We're watching the numbers like the Israelites would have had to watch the cloud by day and the fire by night. It was compelling. It was there all the time. You also knew that you could not just, if you will, go to sleep at the wheel spiritually. You could not just say, I'm here. I get to do my own thing. Nope. That cloud would have always been there. And that fire would have always been there reminding you that at any moment, God may have said to you, it's time to pack up and go. You could have never found rest. This is such a picture the Holy Spirit is helping me see. You could have never found rest. If you're Israel, every single day you walk out of your tent, you see the cloud. And you're like, oh man, is it going to move today? Is it going to move this hour? Is it going to move tonight? Then tonight comes and you see the pillar. And you're like, wow, man, last time it was only a week. I mean, maybe it's going to make us move again. And you have this sense of unrest. The promised land was the rest. If they started to feel rest in the wilderness, it would defeat the purpose of the promised land. God had to keep them moving. He had to keep them uncomfortable. He keeps them alive, but he keeps them uncomfortable. You're not going to find yourself feeling satiated in the wilderness. Ah, yes, what a vacation we are having. Nope. This is, to me, exactly a picture of what God is doing with Lisa and I as well. He's keeping us from being able to find any rest, and we've become exhausted. And then what happens is you're tempted to cry out. We've even said it, that the numbers can feel like manna. And sometimes you want to say, Lord, we're eating the same manna. I've made this reference a long time ago, that God was using the numbers like a type of spiritual manna with me to feed me. And sometimes you can say, Lord, I'm sick and tired of eating. You can feel like that. I'm tired of eating the numbers. I want what the numbers represent. Manna is just meant to sustain you in a place that God is never going to. You're not going to be in the wilderness going, man, the food is great here. I mean, we should just stay here. Nope. That would be restful. God is allowing everything to strike at what you would consider rest. You have to constantly be on the lookout for snakes and scorpions. It's like I just had mentioned that I have to constantly look over my shoulder, knowing at any minute I could receive a text, I could receive an email or a comment that's from a snake. Every single day I have to keep my eye out for snakes. I've literally just been talking about this with Lisa the last couple of days, that my life is a constantly, like, at any moment something could pop up. That's exactly what it would have been like for the Israelites in the wilderness. They would have seen that around every corner there could have been some poisonous viper, scorpions. They'd go in their tent and there'd be one right there. And, oh man, I'm so sick of this wilderness. I just want to get out. Hi. Oh, she just let me get so close to her. Come on, baby. You're okay. You're okay. Oh, I shouldn't have stopped. Oh man, she just got so close to me. Yeah. Hi there. Hi, sweet girl. Hi. Oh my goodness gracious. She just was literally so close to me. If I would have been one more, like three or four more steps closer, I could have almost reached out and grabbed her. She was probably 12, 15 feet away from me. And then when she saw that I broke stride, she got excited and left. Oh, poor thing. So what I am seeing is a perfect parallel. God is not allowing Lisa and I to have any rest in the wilderness. He's keeping us moving. This is the way of God that is incredible and mysterious. When God moved you some of those 42 times in the wilderness, occasionally you'd got there and been excited. There would have been some new thing, maybe a new set of rocks for your kids to play on. Maybe there'd have been a new fresh pasture for your sheep to feed on. But a couple of times you would have moved and you'd been like, what was the point of this? This is exactly like where we were just at, God. Why does he keep moving us like this, Moses? It takes so much time and effort for me to pack up everything, put the kids on my backs, you know, get the donkeys all in order, and the sheep, and drive them out and pack up all my possessions. It's a little bit like what I've been going through. My recordings that I've not shared are how many times I've packed up my little suitcase and put in all my toiletry items and razors and packed it all up, and would spend like a better part of an hour getting everything packed up, wondering if God was going to send me on my way the next day. And it would come to nothing. And you get frustrated, and you're just like, God. But then I just say, that's okay, Lord. I want you to see my faith. Here it is. Man cannot live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. God tests you to see if you will obey him. This is beautiful, that God in the wilderness will lead you to places where you cannot catch your breath. You cannot get rest. You cannot plant. You will not become complacent. And you are Psalm 123, as a handmaiden looks to her mistress, as a slave looks to the hand of his master, so our eyes look to you, O God, until you have mercy on us. That's what it means to be in the wilderness. There's a pillar of cloud and a pillar of fire. Cloud by day and fire by night. And you're going to have to pay attention. You're not going to catch any rest. It's only by the grace of God. And the temptation is going to be to grumble against the groundhog days, to grumble against the manna breakfast, manna lunch, the manna dinner, the manna shakes, the manna kebabs, the whole thing, manna burgers. You're going to get sick and tired of it. And you're going to want to grumble and complain. And this is where God is doing a very, very deep work of character, testing your faith to see, will you suffer in order to get into the promised land? It is incredible to think about this. And I see all this moving that God has done. I need to go back and do some diligent research and find out how many times we've had dates. And I said, sweetheart, it's approaching 50, and there's 50 days of Pentecost. And Pentecost also is a time of terrible waiting. It would have been the most vulnerable time for the disciples. And Jesus has just been taken away, and now they are having to wait for what they don't even understand. Exactly when, they do not know. They didn't know. And they had to just wait. And man, the waiting would have been excruciating. Hiding out without power. Vulnerable. Weak. Can't live a normal life at this point in time. Surrounded by devils and enemies with the Romans all over you. The Jews wanting to hunt you down with them and persecute you. And you're sitting waiting and you're like, oh man, 50 days. And I just see also that it's possible the Lord may do a 50 days of us where we've moved and been prepared to move or had these dates. And I just see that there's been so much suffering that's come as a result of these dates. If the Israelites would have been allowed by God to stay put and not have to be moved from place to place, which for us it may be from circumstance to circumstance in a normal person's life. But for the Israelites, literally having to pack up, they would have never been able to get comfortable. But if they stayed put, they would have been able to create comfort. Humans have always been able to find ways to make their life easier and to basically live without God. You build essentially your own Tower of Babel. You build your own life. You build your own nest. You build your own comforts. You build your own infrastructure. And you start to work apart from God and just build up a life for yourself. Make a life for yourself is the statement. And Lisa and I have not been able to do this, and it looks insane. It's like you're like round and round we go. Wherever we stop, nobody knows. This is exactly how God dealt with the Israelites. And we're being tested. And hopefully we're passing based on what the Lord is showing me, that it's coming and that He'll hit a precise date. And it won't be that we had to, you know, that He had to delay because we weren't ready, but that He took into account our character development and our testing and our mistakes and sins and all that stuff. And He took them into account. And He measures it out. And perhaps something I still believe is going to happen between now and 9/11. And just continue to endure. And there's no escape. I still am feeling lonely. I'm not feeling really bad about being in the wilderness right now. I'm just feeling really bad about, you know, the suffering that I had to relive listening to that yesterday and just reliving all that suffering. It's just, to think about it, it's just tough, man. It's tough to realize how much I've been through when I'm not strong. Right now I'm so weak, and I got so much encouragement from the scripture that I heard this morning in my audio Bible from Jesus talking about, now is your time of grief, but I will come. And your time of joy is coming, and no one will take away your joy. And I then saw a scripture that spoke to the effect of that as well this morning. And I just felt like that's the Lord telling me, now is your time of grief. You know, and but your joy is coming. And I'm once again at a lowly place where I feel like now would be such a wonderful time. Again, the Lord's timing. I'm not going to touch His time, but it would be such a wonderful time to be lifted up. The great lifting up is so great because it comes when you've been so far down. The farther down you are when the lifting up comes, the more glorious, the greater height you reach, the greater joy you reach. When you see Jesus Christ dying in front of everybody without any hope, when you see Jesus Christ dying in front of everybody without any hope on that cross, and everything you've believed for 3.5 years, you're watching it crumble before your very eyes. That brought them so low, there's no way to explain how high they would have come when Jesus Christ resurrected, makes Himself known to them again. That is an incredible, glorious lifting up. That is something that God does that is so beautiful. He allows you to go down to the lowest of the low, farther than you ever imagined. And when He lifts you up farther and more beautiful than you ever imagined. That is an incredible, glorious lifting up. That is something that God does that is so beautiful. He allows you to go down to the lowest of the low, farther than you ever imagined. And when He lifts you up farther and more beautiful than you ever imagined. I mean, that is something that is so beautiful of Father to do that. That really is something so gorgeous that he does that. So these have been really wonderful insights the Lord has been giving me and helping me to see. And I'm particularly amazed by how God has allowed me to be wrong. He's allowed me to move from date to date, and yet I know these are intentional. When I say wrong, hoping is, you know, I don't guess is wrong when it what you hope for. I'm just clearly showing these dates God's moving us to, and I see he's moved us from point A to point B, if you will, in baby steps. He didn't just move us from our wedding date, our marriage proposal date, to me getting to New Zealand. He moved us to a bunch of different places. And he has extracted some wonderful skin from us in the process. A lot of death to flesh. There's probably a lot more, praise God, I believe more of Jesus Christ in both of us than there was before. We've died more, there's more room for Jesus Christ, and I'm very thankful for that, and I'm just going to continue to stay low and humble before him and wait and trust him. Just trust my Lord to do what he said he will do and to get my wife and I through. Yesterday, Lisa said that she was tempted again to start feeling cruel to God, and she was feeling like God was cruel, and she said she was so surprised by it because she said, Lord, we've already been there twice before and I've done fine. And she says, so I'm really surprised to see this come back. It's just like Satan. He left Jesus only to come back at an opportune time. And you get caught off guard, and that's part of it. It's part of the suffering. It's more suffering for Lisa, more character development, more death to self. And yeah, we just have to keep going. But I find this work is just going deeper and deeper, and I feel satisfied in my heart right now. I feel very satisfied that I know by faith and I know by personal experience that the Lord is doing a good work in our hearts. He still is molding us, shaping us, disciplining us, not punishing us, disciplining, training, teaching,